Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Ah, yes, see his banner go, brothers and sisters. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 4th of October in the Feast of Tabernacles. It is pre-recorded because I am at the feast. We are going to finish up the book of Ezra, Nehemiah. That was all one book. We're going to be doing chapter 13 today. Now, chapter 13 is extremely important. Now, you remember that Nehemiah, the entire book is between chapter 6 and chapter 7 of the book of 1st Ezra. Nehemiah was the governor appointed by the king of Persia, and Ezra was the high priest and scribe. Okay? He had great authority, and he was also dedicated to the service of Yahweh. So let's get into this. This is the book of the reforms of Nehemiah. A lot of things were going wrong. They were still in apostasy, and he had to fix a lot of stuff that was happening in Jerusalem at the time. So we'll get into this. Verse 1 and 2 of chapter 13. You can reference Deuteronomy chapter 23 verses 3 through 5. All right. Verse 1. I got to clear my lungs here. I got to cough. Just a second. Okay. Here we go. On that day, they read in the scroll, 5612, of Moshe, in the ears, in other words, in the hearing of the people. And therein was found written that the Ammoni, that's the Ammonites, and the Moabi, that's the Moabites, should not come into the congregation of Elohim forever. In other words, that's until everlasting, okay? And verse 2, you can reference Numbers 22, verses 1 through 6. Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water when they were wandering, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, Eloheinu, that's our God, turned the curse into a blessing. Verse 3. Now there's some, they have moved some words around in here. I'm going to read it as it is in the Hebrew correctly. Now it came to pass when they had heard the Torah that they excluded all the Arab at 6154 from Israel. Now, who is the Arab? Those of mixed race. The dusky. That's what Arab means, dusky. Verse 4, and before this, Eliashib, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of Eloheinu, was a relative to Tobiah. Verse 5, and he had prepared for him a great chamber where formerly the presence, they had put the grain offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the fresh oil, which was commanded to be given to the Lewium, and the singers, and the gatekeepers, and the offerings of the priests. So he just stuck his relative, nepotism, in this chamber that was supposed to be used for all the things that were to go to the priest as their due, and the Levites for their service in the temple. Now this explains how. Verse 6. But in all this was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxasta, king of Babel, came I unto the king, and at the end of some days requested leave of the king. So he asked for leave to go to Jerusalem and see what was going on. Verse 7, and I came to Jerusalem and understood the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah, his relative. He just gave him a room. It was not, he had no business being in that room, in preparing him a chamber in the courtyards of the house of Elohim. Well, he's the governor, so... Verse 8, and it grieved me, 7, 4, 8, 9, much. Therefore, now listen to what he does. I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. He threw it out in the courtyard. This is the governor that did this. He just went in that room and cleaned it out, threw everything out. Verse 9, because that was Yahweh's territory. He didn't have any business in there. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and there brought I again, he returned the vessels of the house of Elohim with the grain offering and the frankincense. Verse 10, and you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 19. And I came to know or perceive that the portions of the Lewium had not been given them, for the Lewium and the singers that did the work were fled everyone to his field. They were afraid of this Tobiah. Well, he solved that little problem. Verse 11, then I contended, 7, 3, 7, 8, with the officials, 5, 6, 4, 1, or 5, 4, 6, 1. Okay, pardon me. the rulers, 5-4, Sagan, to superintend, a prefect of a province, a prince, a ruler. And said, why is the house of Elohim forsaken? In other words, why have all these people left? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. So he's not going to take any mouth off of these lesser people. They were officials, but he was the head honcho appointed by the king. Verse 12. And you can reference Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Then brought all Yehuda the tithe, that's the tenth, of the corn and the new wine and the fresh oil into the treasuries, like they were supposed to. And here's what he did. And I made treasurers over the treasuries. Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe. And of the Leviums, the Levites, Pedaiah, and next to hand, that means next in authority, was Kanan, the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah. For they were accounted faithful. In other words, they were upright men, and he wanted to get rid of the bums and put some people that were going to do their job in office. And their office was to distribute unto their brothers. In other words, they were in charge of making sure all these temple workers got their sustenance. Now here is, I got to clear my throat again here, just a second. Ah, cold water. He's speaking to Yahweh in this sentence, verse 14. Remember me, O Elohai, that means, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my pious acts that I have done for the house of Elohai, that again is my God, and for the observances thereof. He set the things at the temple straight. Now he's going to go on and he's going to straighten out some major things going on in violation of the Shabbat day, the Sabbath day. Okay? Verse 15. And for verse 15, you can reference the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 through 10, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, and the book of Yirmiyahu, that's Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 21 and 22. Chapter 15. In those days saw I in Yehuda some treading wine presses on the Shabbat, doing work, and bringing in heaps of grain. They're carrying burdens and lading asses. They were loading up donkeys for transport. Even the animals are to rest on the Shabbat. And as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Yerushalayim on the Shabbat day. And I testified them against them in the day wherein they sold food. They were violating the Shabbat. Verse 16, there dwelt Zorim, in English that's men of Tyre, also therein, which brought fish and all manner of merchandise, and sold on the Shabbat unto the children of Yehuda and in Jerusalem. Oh, boy, and he was going to go ballistic. He's not going to have that. So verse 17. Then I contended with the nobles, in other words, the rulers of Yehuda, and said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do and profane the Shabbat day? Verse 18. Did not your forefathers thus, and did not Eloheinu, that's our God, bring all this calamity upon us and upon this city? In other words, the dispersion. He sold them into captivity. They didn't keep the Shabbat. They were worshiping idols. They did all of that. Continuing on, yet you add wrath upon Israel by profaning the Shabbat. He said, what are you doing? He was mad. Now here's his solution. Listen to this. Verse 19. And it came to be that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark, in other words, the sun was going down before the Shabbat, I said that the doors should be shut, and said that they should not be opened until after the Shabbat. And some of my servants said I at the gates that there should be no burden be brought in on the Shabbat day. He put guards on the gates of his own servants, because he was a governor and he had like police, I guess. Verse 20, so the merchants and sellers of all that which is sold lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. Verse 21, then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge you about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. Ha! From that time forth came they no more on the Shabbat. In other words, he was going to send men out with clubs and beat the fire out of those people for enticing Israel to break the Shabbat. He wasn't going to fool. He was the governor. In other words, get out of here. Don't come back here on the Shabbat day. Verse 22. And I commanded the Levium that they should cleanse themselves. That's a ceremonial cleansing. And that they should come and guard the gates to sanctify, in other words, to set apart, 6942, the Shabbat day. And he prays to Yahweh again. Remember me, O Elohai, my God, concerning this also, and show mercy upon me, according to the abundance of your kindness. Verse 23, here we go again. Verses 23 through 25, you can reference Exodus chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. And Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 5. This is also in Ezra. Okay. In those days also I saw Yaudim, that was men of the tribe of Judah, that had given dwelling to wives of Ashdodioth, that's of Ashdod, of Ammonioth, of Ammon, of Moabioth, that's of all the female tents, okay, that's Moab. Verse 24, and their children spoke half in the speech of Ashdod, and understand not, or did not understand how to speak in Yaudith, that's the language of the land of Judah. Okay? But according to the language of each people, they were speaking the foreign tongues. It's like these people that come here and can't speak English, and they jibber-jabber in whatever tongue they are. They don't bother to learn English. Same deal, different day. Here we are again. Verse 25. Here's what he did. And I contended with them. That means fought with them. And cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by Elohim, saying, you shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. That's a commandment. Verse 26. And you can reference 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24 and verse 25, and 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. Verse 26, did not Shlomo, that's Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him who was beloved of Elohim, that's his God. And Elohim made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did racially alien women cause to sin. We are not to race mix. But the you don't hear the Judeo-Christian churches preach this. Would hurt the collection plate. They preach race mixing. Our society and our government and the left-wing libtards and all the touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy Judeos preach race mixing. You're a hater and a racist if you wish to keep your race pure. In the last days, that which is good will become evil, and that which is evil will become good. Here it is. Now they're saying it's fine to race mix when the Bible says it's not. Verse 27. Shall we then listen unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God, Eloheinu, in giving dwelling to racially alien wives? In other words, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you crazy? This is the sin that brought down King Solomon, yet you say it's all right now. Well, it was never all right in this nation and other nations. It was unthinkable to take a wife of another race, but look at it now. Verse 28 of chapter 13. You can reference Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. And Sanballat, the Horoni, that's Sanballat the Horonite, of the sons of Yoyada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was the son-in-law Therefore I chased him from me. Boy. What a mess. And Sanballat the Horonite, of the sons of Yoyada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was the son-in-law. Therefore, I chased him from me. What does that say to you, brothers and sisters? He's the governor. And he's chasing this Israelite. Probably had a big stick in his hand. Gonna give him a beating. Verse 29. And he prays to Yahweh again and says, remember them, O Elohai, that's my God, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood. How much more definitive can you get? They have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Lewium, the Levites. He's praying against them to Yahweh. Verse 30. Thus cleansed I them from all racial aliens and appointed the divisions of the priest and the Lewium, everyone in his business. They had their appointed tasks, which were listed in Leviticus, and he put everything back in order, chased all the racial aliens out, and set things straight. Verse 31, and for the wood offering at times appointed and for the first fruits, remember me, O Elohai, for good. He's praying that again. Please keep me in your memory. You can see the note in Nehemiah 2:10. That ends the book of Nehemiah, which finishes up the Ezra, Nehemiah book. And what have we seen here? We have seen the returning of the captivity. In other words, they were freed by the king of Persia after he conquered Babel and destroyed Nebuchadrezzar, who was used to punish Israel. And they freed all of these people from the captivity. That's what they say when they're going to return the captivity. They return from Babel. Well, they came in two stages, several stages. They were trickling in. Long walk. They had to do it on foot. And they dribbled in. And the leaders came with them. Zerubbabel went first. Then came Ezra and Nehemiah. He came in the middle of the book of Ezra, between chapter 6 and chapter 7 for the timeline. They had all kinds of stuff going on. They had no wall. They had no gates. They had no protection. And when they started to rebuild the walls, the traditional racial enemies of Israel, as they do today, opposed the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the wall, and they stopped it for a time. But after a while, Yahweh stepped in and had them finish all these tasks, and everything was finished. All the gates were put up on the wall, and the wall was dedicated, made holy again, dedicated for Yahweh's people by the governor, who was Nehemiah. Okay. Then he saw all this stuff. People were crooked, and they were not giving the workers what they were supposed to give them. They were keeping it for themselves. They were hoarding it. And then this one guy had his cousin or relative living in the temple area. The temple had been rebuilt. He was living in one of the rooms of the temple. Had no business in there, just because he was related to the guy. So he threw him out. Then he saw all these people in the priesthood with all these mutts running around with these foreign women, just like Solomon did in the days when he became a fool after his wisdom period, doing the same cotton-picking thing. Mixing race. Mixing race is a big no-no with Yahweh. But you can't tell the Judeos that today. You will be called a racist and a Nazi. They don't have anything better to say. They can't refute what you say, so they call names. They can't deny it's true. It's right in the Bible, but they don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to read the parts that they like. They don't want to take the whole thing. It makes them uncomfortable. Well, my, isn't that just a shame that they are uncomfortable? I'm sorry about that. But he threw a bunch of them out at priests that had alien wives. They had polluted the priesthood. The priesthood was polluted in the times of Yeshua, Messiah. It's the same today. We've got mutts all through the Judeo-Christian religion, and it should just be the Talmudic religion, because they're following the Talmud of the Jews. They're not following Christianity, because Yeshua Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, preached Torah, and he preached all the law, but they don't want the law. They won't have any of the law. Just won't have it. Well, they're going to get a rude awakening. Because when Yeshua Messiah comes back, he's going to bring the law with him. Now, we are set apart. We have come out from among them and are separate. And we try our very, very best to obey the law, those in Christian identity. More or less, most of us. Some more, some less. All we as pastors can do is to exhort to righteousness. We can't shove it down anybody's throats. It has to be a willing choice on the part of the individual to accept the redemption. Now, you either accept what Yeshua taught or you do not. If you only take a little bit of it, you will continue to fall short. You're going to have to knuckle under and humble yourself and take the law as it is and quit trying to downsize it or cut pieces and parts out if you're going to these Judeo-Christian claptrap churches. Because that is what they do. They are neither warm nor cold. They are violating the law, and they will be spewed out. Well, what can I say? There are some that will be chosen and some that will not. Many will be called, but few will be chosen. The remnant's going to be small. Not everybody's going to make it. And we try and we try and we try and we preach and we preach and we preach. And one by one, they're coming in. So the preaching is worth it. The effort and the work is worth it. Okay? I'm not complaining about the work. I'm cheerful about it. I love the word. I love to read it. And there are a lot of people that like to hear me read it and do the explanations. And I'm making my brothers and sisters happy, and they're learning things. And they're joyful in the word. And that is what pleases me so much. I like to see the work that I am doing for Yahweh bear fruit. It does not go out void. Somebody hears it somewhere. It touches someone in the right manner. May not touch a lot. May be old hat to a lot of people. They've heard it before and they're complying with it. The word at that point is not just for them. It's for somebody that hasn't complied. Drawing them in. Yahweh draws them in and they hear the word. And he has blessed me by allowing me to have a little piece in this, that I get to work for him. What an honor, what a blessing to be able to serve after the rotten life that I've led. And he redeemed me from that and has me as his servant. A loving father. Oh, makes chills go down my spine. I'm just joyous. I'm going to be joyous here during this Feast of Tabernacles. We're in the middle of it. The second day of it, actually. Here on the 4th. And we go through till sundown of next Tuesday on the 10th. And party! Good food, good fellowship, good scripture readings, lots of nice hot coffee and tea and cold water and lemonade, whatever we want. It's a feast. You're supposed to feast. You're supposed to celebrate. And we do. Yeah. Do a little trout fishing on the intermediate days when it's not a Shabbat. Catch some trout and fry them up. Yeah. I had such a wonderful time last year. I had a great time in the spring. At Passover, when everybody showed up, we're going to have a much bigger group this time. A lot of campsites are reserved. and people are coming from all over. And it's going to be marvelous. So I urge all of you to participate in some manner. If you have to do it in a tent at your house, put up a shelter outside out of sticks and branches and stuff. Celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Put a table and chairs in there. Eat your meals in there. Do scripture readings. Get your children involved. Read them the scriptures. They need that always. And you will be blessed by Yahweh. Yahweh will approve of that. This is a commanded feast. It's not optional. Well, it might be nice if you did that. No, you will do this, said Yahweh. So, in obedience to his commandments, we will do it. That's how it is. Later in life, when I had the opportunity, I have been keeping the feasts for years now. Early on in my CI career, if you want to call it that, I was not wholly faithful, but I was reaching people, I was preaching, and finally a lot of it landed right on me, slapped me upside the head. And I had to further go into it and be more obedient. That happens. Anyway, we are going to be starting on Friday in the book of First Chronicles. Now, I'm going to do Chronicles the same way. They had been separated by Pope Jerome in the Latin Vulgate. They were one book, same way Samuel, 1st and 2nd Samuel were one book. 1st and 2nd Kings were one book. Ezra, Nehemiah were one book. Well, Chronicles is known as the Words of the Days, Davari Hayomim. That's the name of the book, the Words of the Days of the Kings of Israel. And it is a chronological record, and it parallels the books of Kings. Many of the chapters in the books of Chronicles are identical, maybe only one word different, from some chapters in the book of Kings. So there's a lot of repetition. There's a lot of records in here that are from Genesis and Joshua. I will be giving verses as I read through Chronicles, detailing where these apply in some of the other books. That it is not identical with the book of Kings. A lot of it's from the books of Samuel. A lot of stuff. I don't know how long it's going to take to read it, but 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st Chronicles has 29 chapters, and 2nd Chronicles has 36 chapters, and it goes eventually, it covers Solomon, and it covers all the way up when King Koresh, which they called Cyrus in the King James, frees the exiles and offers to pay for the rebuilding of the temple. And he made a decree, and all the other kings followed suit, and they rebuilt that second temple. And it lasted up until the time after Yeshua's ascension to the Father. And the Romans came in, which was the Zerach tribe of Yehuda, and destroyed Jerusalem because of the infestation of all the non-Israelites there, the Edomites that had taken over, and they did not deserve that temple or living in the city of Jerusalem. And the Romans tore everything down and actually plowed the city. They ran a plow through it. So now they are pretending to be Israel today, the Edomites. They think they're going to build a third temple, and I don't think Yahweh's going to let them do it. Their financial empire is crashing. They are gradually coming to the time of their final end. It's going to get worse and worse and worse, and everything's going to fall apart for them. We need to persevere and keep our faith in Yahweh and be obedient, and He will take us through this bad time. He will put His hedge of protection over us. Chronicles is going to begin with a lot of genealogies. We have to keep track of who the true ancestors were, because we have these pretenders that have crept in and they can't show their genealogy. They keep their genealogy through the mother. Well, Israel, true Israel, keeps it through the father's line. And they have everything absolutely opposite of what's in the Torah of Moshe with their Babylonian Talmud. So I will be back with you on Friday. It will be pre-recorded because it's still the Feast of Tabernacles, and I'm still going to be out of town, and I'll have this in the slow shot, show slot, slow shot, oh man, show slot for Friday. It'll start with First Chronicles, and we'll see how far we get. And we'll be doing Chronicles pretty much all this month into next month, so into November. But I hope you have a joyous feast day. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. I'm going to play a couple of shorts that I recorded. Psalm 2 and Psalm 91. David James was kind enough to put them to music. So here we go. I'm going to try out this short. This Psalm 2 will be first, and Psalm 91 will be second, and then I'll play the outro music for word. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Shalom Aleichem. Psalm number 2, concerning the Anointed One. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the land set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against His Anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the sky shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the land for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you rulers of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him. Psalm 91, known as the Soldier's Psalm. He that dwells in the secret place of Elyon, who abides under the shadow of the Shaddai, he is saying of Yahweh, My refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of a trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the morally wrong, because you have made Yahweh my refuge, the Elyon, your dwelling place. No evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent, for he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lions and cobra, young lion and jackal you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver him. I set him on high because he has known my name. When he calls on me, I answer him. I am with him in distress. I deliver him and honor him. With long life I fill him and show him my deliverance.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Live. Lift, hip, two, three, four, hip, two, three, four, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, he's our king.
We love Yahweh, he's our king.
To his glory we now sing.
To his glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip. Hip, two, three, four.